It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland and Daniel Pryor, the Sound Mind broadcast, another award-winning program this week. happy Thanksgiving, Daniel, as we're getting ready for Thanksgiving.
And to Mark and to all the listeners as well.
Into the Thanksgiving and Christmas season, a time to be jolly and happy, but also a season sometimes to be
sad
or SAD, as it's come to known. Seasonal affective disorder. I don't know if you ever have talked about this or referenced this in any of your shows. So we're going to kind of get your take on what's really going on with SAD.
Yeah, I think we just probably touched on it and probably touch on it every winter it comes up. But I don't think I've ever looked at it in this way. And actually, this show is about a couple of things. It's sort of like a basket of cornucopia. I thought cornucopia was suitable for the season.
Yeah.
So it has a number of things. It's kind of a mix. And really what I want to talk about is helping people to get on the joyful side of Thanksgiving and the holidays. And really, we've talked about this before. I recall this, that the season, this holiday season, is really a mix. We all bring different things to the holiday season. And if you talk to people about their feelings at this time, a lot of people will bring up kind of similar things. You know, well, you know, toward the end of the year, you kind of reflect back on the year and things that you accomplished, but also on things that you didn't accomplish. A lot of times at the end of the year, you tend to reflect, since it's a gathering time, and invariably there are families out there where all the members are not there this season. They've had there's been a tragedy in the family, and so it's a mix, loss of, for all different kinds of reasons. So it's kind of a mix. It's a season to be jolly and Thanksgiving, but it's also sometimes a sad. And then there's this other business of SAD, and people, you know, come into this season, and it's complicated enough without saddling some of these things on us that we really don't need. So I wanted a little bit to talk about SAD, and I wanted to talk a little bit about grief, and then also want to talk about, you know, what we the fundamental basic things of continuing to be happy and glad and thankful, and how we do that. It's pretty common sense stuff, but a lot of the common sense stuff, it still doesn't come to mind, even though it's common sense. We still overlook some of these things. So I thought we would start off with a little bit of talking about SAD and kind of try to demystify it, because I think it's one more of those diagnoses, relatively new diagnosis that people kind of latch on to explain why they feel down
at this time of year.
I
can't imagine what it's like in places like Alaska, or where it's dark half the year.
And that's part of the business. Yeah. So they have, you know, people at the poles tend to suffer from it more. But there are some other things that explain this. It's not just things that we can't control. I think that for believers, it's a little bit absurd to have to claim a faith in a God who created this universe and then treat mental health and things like SAD, we call it, as though it's something that didn't even cross God's mind when he made us, and we're on our own here. He's no help to us at all. Nothing in the Bible about this, and you know, we got to rely on the medical profession, and this has
made the point too. I mean, a while back, people used to get up early all the time. Mm-hmm. Farmers get up early and in the dark, and they never heard of SAD. Yeah.
There's something else going on too. So, if you research SAD, you're going to run into contradictory reports on it. One states that one view is that people with SAD, it differs from, it's a kind of depression, but it's a little bit different than the depression that we think of. And then they go on to describe its differences. And if you read them carefully, you think, well, they're talking about anxiety, which then reminds us that probably 85% of the time when doctors use the term depression, they really mean anxiety, because there are very few people that are extremely depressed. if a person is extremely depressed, they would not care enough to come to counseling.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably don't see anybody. The people that are extremely depressed might wind up in the hospital because they probably don't get out of bed. Depression is kind of the state of total hopelessness. Mm. And so you say, well, nobody's completely hopeless. And so what you're saying is, well, then there's always a mixture of anxiety. Because if there's worry, there's anxiety. Depression is I've given up. And so people who are depressed typically come off as not being worried. They're just immobile.
Mm.
Yeah, so there's always a mixture. They say it's always a comorbidity there. You rarely, if ever, find depression on its own, or very rarely. There's always a mixture of anxiety. So what they're describing here when they talk about the symptoms of SAD is it's just anxiety. They say that people with SAD often differ from depression because people with SAD sleep and eat more, and people of depression have difficulty sleeping and eating. And we say, but in many, many cases where people claim to be depressed or they're diagnosed with depression, they're overeating. So so that's a mixture. And then we have research saying that people with SAD think more of or think less of suicide. And then the next research says, well, they actually think more of suicide. So there's a lot of confusion out there. And what it turns out to be is that I think that SAD is just a smaller slice of the same old anxiety.
And not knowing how to deal with anxiety.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. The issue of melatonin comes up, you know, that, our body manufactures melatonin to put us to sleep so that when it's dark, melatonin is produced and we get drowsy. So when the shorter days, there's we're drowsy more. But as you pointed out and we were talking about before, farmers always get up before dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something else going on. So SAD, is it another form of depression? No, I don't think so. I think it's these things all point to anxiety, rather. Although, you know, as I said before, depression, anxiety, they're kind of loose terms out in the medical field. When doctors medicate depression, 85% of the time they're also medicating anxiety and talking
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
Anxiety. So we're really dealing with anxiety, and we need to stop getting caught up in this ever-evolving kind of a redundancy of popular mental health where, you know, this is kind of a new discovery of new mental health. As I say, it's just kind of slicing the pie in smaller pieces. And a lot of that is in the interest of medication, sales of new medications. And I want to qualify here that although I'm not an advocate of medication, probably most of my clients are on some kind of medication. And I see a place for medication when things are to the point where people simply can't cope. An extreme example would be probably the one or two people that I have ever in my practice suggested that they go see their doctor and get something to calm them down would be people who are really having suicidal ideations, and they're repetitive, and we just can't.
They're in a spiral that they can't just kind of will themselves out of.
That's right. We can't get any traction mm-hmm. in counseling because mm-hmm. they're just too preoccupied with that. So they need to kind of, it's sort of trying to talk sense with the person who's inebriated.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to sober up.
But
first,
I think that you're right that the society has relied too much now on pills,
mm-hmm.
and they're not doing any of the work. They're not doing any of the counseling work. And changing habits, changing thought patterns that they need to do. Yeah. They can't just rely totally on medication, which is what you're trying to counter.
Right.
So many people are.
Yeah. Really, what is why SAD? So if you start to think practically of why people experience sadness during this time of year, think of all the things because of the shorter days and the weather. Think of all the things that you're not allowed to do. Not only projects that you're not allowed to be involved in, but relationships shut down unless you're skiing or something like that. And sometimes those people you're even more active in the winter if you do things like that. But for a lot of people, even going to visit gets to be problematic, you know, in this kind of weather. So you tend to just kind of stay in, and so the inbox is getting full. And the inbox, taking care of the inbox, taking care of projects in our life.
Just not as much time.
There's
only so many
time.
Hours in the day. It seems like less hours because there's only so much daylight.
And the weather limits a lot of things that we can do. People who like to work in the yard, you know, projects around the house, things that you need to get done. And that's where we get our sense of value, control, and power.
By being productive
and being relational. So those things tend to,
well,
tend
go to the
slow
gym.
Down during
Shouldn't people
the,
go to the gym more, maybe? They, or be more active
well,
athletically
people that are more
indoors.
Active, people that are more active don't have the
That's
don't
right.
have the problem with
right.
it. Another thing is, I just say on the side here, that people, a lot of times people resort more when the days are shorter and the winter weather, people have a tendency to spend more time on the television, on Facebook, on computer and gaming and things like that than they normally would. Now, if there are people who are normally inactive, that's even worse. But even sometimes people who are active kind of resort to that. And
yeah, I don't binge watch a lot on Netflix during the summer, but during the winter months,
yeah,
I do. So
yeah, and now that is kind of a self-medication because we're not using these things to take us to escape some traumatic event, but we're using them to escape boredom, and they are a kind of a self-medication. But there's a lot of research out there now. And we'll do a show on this, I think, probably next year. But there's a lot of research out there that all these virtual, anything over like 4 hours a day of virtual reality, of any of that, television or whatever it is, it begins to attack your frontal lobes. Mm. And that's where your personality is, and that's where your rationale is. And if you see our society that's becoming increasingly virtual reality, We're becoming less communicative all the time. Mm. I was talking to a man the other day who was a cyclist, and he was telling me about a cyclist that rudely went past he and another person and without even looking, just looking straight ahead. They didn't have a radio in his ears or anything. He was just looking straight ahead. And then when they finally caught up, and they said, "But you know, you're supposed to say something," and there was no eye contact at all. The person just continued to stare into oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
As though they weren't even there. You know, we're just becoming a more...
Because he had his earbuds in.
Well, he didn't have earbuds.
Oh, he didn't?
He just chose not to be aware that there's another human.
Okay.
I mean, we're just kind of increasingly becoming that way. And so not a good thing. We want to get away from those things. Another reason... How are we doing time? Well, okay. I'll introduce this. We'll bring it back later.
Okay.
We're a little bit short on this segment.
A tease
here,
but, for the next segment.
Yeah. Kind of this grief, you know, we spoke a little bit about it at the beginning. So I want to talk a little bit about grief because that's yet another thing like SAD. It's not really a diagnosis, but people, you know, it's kind of a cliche in the mental health industry and in the self-help industry that grief is some kind of a process, a mechanical process that we're saddled with. And if we're going through grief, we're kind of stuck in a kind of a process. There's nothing we can do about it. I want to address that a little bit because as we said before, there are the season is a mixture of, thankfulness and joy, and also legitimate sadness and legitimate grief. But I want to talk, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how we can handle that grief and kind of come through it in a healthy way.
Okay, always provocative thoughts here on the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. If you're struggling with any of the issues we're discussing here today, you want a different opinion, you will definitely get a different one from Daniel and his work. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Well, you can call me, folks, at 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. People also email me through the address website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. And there are also podcasts at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Mm-hmm. Many.
Probably a little over 2 years of this, so there's a lot of help there. I also have another website that's actually referenced through Bible-Based Counselor, and that's ChristianCounselorsForum.com. And I have some articles there that I've written over a period of probably 15 years or so now, 17 years actually, just on different topics and issues. So those are helpful too.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
All right. Back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland on the road today with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor, talking about SAD, S-A-D, and how maybe grief is wrapped up into SAD, our notions of the seasonal affective disorder. And again, Thanksgiving, Christmas, getting dark. People are kind of, it almost sounds like you're saying SAD is kind of a cop-out.
Well, I think it's, I don't know how the mental, or, well, I know how they came up with it. They just keep slicing the pie thinner and thinner and thinner. Mm-hmm. And you basically start off with some really basic things that all human beings suffer from. Mm. And, you know, this might seem to a lot of people like a cop-out, but it does have to do with our, you know, our fallen nature and the things that we struggle with because of our fallen nature. Mm. And the medical field is just keeping slicing the pie thinner and thinner, and so they come up with it becomes redundancy. You know, they come up with other forms of depression, other forms of anxiety.
Well, people have always dealt with shorter days, wherever you are in the globe. You know, Australia right now, it's summertime, but they have their short time of year as well, where there's not as much sunshine. So how does this affect? You were saying how grief is sometimes kind of rolled into this as well.
We're talking about this holiday season, and we're talking about how it's a mixture, and we want to get through the holiday season in a very healthy way. But it is a time where we get to this period of the year, and for a lot of reasons, part of it, SAD, people say, well, that has to do with the weather. But as we talked in the first part, kind of the common denominator is that the weather limits the very activities that give us a sense of value, control, and power. So it's not the weather so much as the lack of activity. And so...
So you don't think the lack of sunshine and the way it gives... The vitamin D in our skin, you know, and missing that kind of, I don't know if it's serotonin or whatever, the upper that you get from being in the sun. You don't think there's anything to that?
Well, there's something to it, but in order for the sun to provide enough vitamin D for you to actually get you past the curve, there has to be, it's like more than half of your body has to be exposed to the sun for more than half of the hours of the day. I'm not sure what the numbers are. A brother of mine is a doctor at Johns Hopkins, and he was talking about, you can't get enough from the sun without taking vitamin. I take vitamin D.
Yeah, me too.
My wife calls it the happy pill, but I think there's something. I think when I get behind in the yard work, that's the problem. It's not the, and so it's not so much the lack of the pill. But I wouldn't swear that the pill doesn't have a benefit, but I can't say that it does, because I'm usually when I'm organized and religious enough to take the pill, it usually means that the rest of my life is kind of organized too.
Okay.
So there's kind of like there's
chicken and the egg there, not sure.
Yeah,
which
that's
one.
There's some truth there. But yeah, those things have an effect. But the thing is that if the days are shorter in the winter, we can't just resort to medications in the winter. There, as you were pointing out earlier, mankind has put up with this since the beginning of time. And were we all meant to live on the equator? We deal with it. We don't have to deal with it with medication. Let's trust that those of us who live in these climates where we have shorter days in the winter, that there's also something that God can, maybe we're more challenged to be in the presence of God or something. Okay. I mean, be sounding like a preacher a little bit here, but I'm trying to get people to see, particularly believers, to see that this time of year is not a great mystery to God, and that biblical principles still apply. And we'll go into some practical things here in a minute. But yeah, grief. And I think grief is one of those things that people, when I hear the word grief, I'll just touch on this briefly. A lot of times in the clinical venue, when I hear the word grief, it's almost as though as counselors, we reach out and we grab this thing of grief because there are seven or eight stages. And if I take one session on each one of those seven or eight stages, well, that's eight more sessions. So that sounds good. You know, we could kind of rather than say, I heard it the other day when somebody was a clinician was saying, this person just needs to grieve the fact that that their child is gone and then move on, or grieve the fact that they didn't get a birthday present. And so what we really mean by grieve in that context is just face it. Well, if I say just face it, you don't need a counselor for that. But if I use the word grief, maybe we need to do something. You see what I'm saying? We can get pulled into that because it sounds esoteric. Mm-hmm. But what is grief? Well, grief is really just realizing what you've lost and what you get to keep. So if it's a loved one that's gone, or, you know, and so, but if you start to think about that, every day we're losing something and carrying something on, even if it's just that we're getting older. And at this time of year, a lot of times people reflect back. Mm-hmm. And it's natural to reflect back, and you should be asking yourselves, that loss that I had, mm-hmm. whether it was a loss of my youth or a loss because I'm a year older, or a loss of
loved ones,
a loved one, mm-hmm. or a loss of a job, or a loss of a scholarship, or a loss of time, I didn't complete a project. What did I really lose? But the bigger question is, what did I learn? What can I take on? Because I don't want to live in the past and the loss. I want to move on. So, and when you think about that, that's a process that never ends for us. That's something that's always going on. We're always needing to reflect on the past and say, but what can I learn from it? What do I get to keep? What do I get to take
on? But people definitely need to learn these skills. And that's what when you say about, quote, grief counseling, you're trying to help somebody learn these skills because they maybe are overwhelmed by tragedy in their life.
Unfortunately, a lot of times when people think about grief, they think that it's a process. They just have to wait and let the process happen to them instead of realizing that you're in full control of that process.
To be active.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about the key to glad, because that's where we want to move on to. The key to glad. The key to glad is to do. So do good. Genesis 4:6. So now you see, this is interesting because God addresses this idea of anxiety and depression early on in Scripture. And we see it in Genesis 4:6, where the Lord is talking to Cain, and he says, "Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen?" Now he's talking about, you know, we've talked about anger. Anger is a anxiety and depression are anger behaviors, a response to fear and shame. So why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? And then he says in verse 7, if you do well, your countenance will be lifted.
That's a very
That's God's remedy to our SAD and our anxiety and our depression. And granted, sometimes we get so lost and so far beyond, and this is barring, of course, some sort of an accident where there's been brain damage you know, we've brought a lot of this on by our diet and all kinds of things. So we're pretty thick into the swamp at this point. But still, the answer is the same. He says, if you do well, your countenance will be lifted. Mm-hmm. So do. You know, if you want your countenance to be lifted, do. That is, do good. Do good. Another key to glad is we need to remind ourselves in this season, if never, not any other, but certainly, be reminded of God's riches, of the riches that God's given us, the blessings. In Psalms 43, the psalmist says, ask, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Again, anxiety and depression. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is my health and the health of my countenance, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So, we remind ourselves, a conscious effort of reminding ourselves that that we have a destiny in God, and that's something to be reminded of, doing and reminding ourselves of that. Another one is really practical stuff here, making assignments out of projects and even hobbies that you can do indoors. During the longer days, we might have thought of these projects and some of the hobbies as a waste of time.
Because it's a beautiful day.
Because
you need
it's
to
a
be
beautiful
outside.
Day. Yeah, but now the days are shorter. Now I have to be in. So I should be making an assignment out of even things that are enjoyable. The problem of not making an assignment out of something that's enjoyable. Let's say we've talked about virtual realities things, and let's say that we've got that I like to do a little gaming or something, and I say, well, is there a is there a benefit to this? Yes, there's a benefit. You can think of a benefit to gaming. You know, well, you know, it might help me to relax, or it might keep my brain active. Okay, well, make an assignment out of it. Say I have to do this for a half hour a day. But no more. You know, make an assignment out, or make an assignment out of hobbies. Catch up on your reading. Catch up on your Bible study. Anxiety and depression are a call to devotion. They're a signal that you need, that we need devotion. They're a signal that we need to be committed to something. They're a signal that we need to serve. They're a signal that we need to be productive. And I would suggest we start our new resolution now instead of waiting until January 1st. So I want to start a resolution that says, starting now through the holiday season, not January 1st, I'm going to start being other-centered. I want to be, we say Christ-centered. I'm going to alter that a bit. I want to be Christ body-centered. Mm. I want to be involved in my church in some way, whether it's even want to be smiling more and shaking more hands and getting to know more names. I want to be other Christ body centered, and just
like,
you know, let
this,
this be the prayer, the kind of the new Year's resolution. We're going to start it now, and the prayer will be, Lord, I'm not going to feel this sad. I'm going to trust you to do something wonderful for me as I endeavor to do wonderful things for others.
Amen. How to combat sad, how to combat anxiety and anger this time of year when things are darker. Maybe it's a time to put on that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, to have a thankful heart, thankfulness. Of course, Thanksgiving coming up here, Christmas, God can show you the way through. If you need some help, though, along the road, and you've heard some things that have intrigued you today, Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor, you have offices in
Kirtland and Edmonds.
Okay, and how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, it's a little late to set up an appointment before Thanksgiving right now, but if you follow the advice in this radio show, you probably make it through Thanksgiving fairly well. But you can call me at 425-778-6169, and people also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.